Greetings, fellow podcasticans. Thank you for downloading a new episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast, coming to you live, recorded on a series of ones and zeros from the studios at Vault 405 in Edmond. I'm web editor Greg Elwell, and this week, managing editor Carly Ibarra.
Hello.
And Shia McCowan.
Hello.
Are joining me in the studio to talk with the makers of the new film, Black Wall Street Burning, Dekoven Riggins and Marcus Brown. First, a word from our sponsor. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. Guys, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you for having us.
For the listeners, we have asked them to speak in unison the entire time. Work it out with a series of hand gestures and winks, but I think we're going to get there. Tell us a little bit about Black Wall Street Burning and where people can find it.
Black Wall Street Burning is about the 1921 massacre that happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's currently showing in Harkins Theater. And I guess we're probably going to talk a lot more about what happened in Tulsa in 1921, 99 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you tell us, about your roles on the film?
Oh, how much time do you have?
pretty much, if there wasn't a role we didn't have.
Okay.
The two of us did everything.
Yeah, so we'll just run down the list. So I was first camera.
I was second.
You second camera. I operated the boom.
So did I.
I did lights.
So did I.
Let's see. We
did wardrobe.
We did miking.
Got the cast together.
Wrote
the script.
Wow.
Directed the movie.
Produced the movie. And post-production.
Yep, I did the editing.
I did all the sound. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And then and music and... Yeah,
this was a two-man show.
Wow. So can you tell me from the time you guys came up with this concept to now, how long has that journey been?
Very short, actually.
Really?
Okay. We're a new company. We came together literally about a year ago. A year ago, and we started working together really in April of last year. We decided to do the film end of July, beginning of August, and I wrote the script, and then we read the script, made a couple revisions, and then we found the cast beginning of September, did a run through midway of September, and then started filming in October. Mm-hmm. The last 2 weeks of October, we filmed those two weekends, and then the first weekend in November.
And he said we agreed, but we didn't really agree.
No, I agreed.
When he said, when we decided to make this happen with Notice Studios, he was like, okay, first thing we're doing out the gate is we're making a Black Wall Street movie. And I was like, no, we're not. No way I'm doing this. It's too big. You want to drig up something that people do not want to talk about. I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, cool, you don't want to do it. So we're doing it. I just did what I was told, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So where did the idea come from, since it is such something that a lot of people don't want to talk about?
I love movies. Uh-huh. I've always loved films. And going to Langston University, I had the opportunity to learn about Black Wall Street. And so when I found out about it, I started looking for movies. Mm-hmm. And didn't find any. Couldn't find anything. So I would always say, this was probably about 14 years ago, I would always say, man, somebody needs to make a movie about this. And 14 years later, the opportunity presented itself. We were at our church, praying and fasting, and Marcus walked up to me and was like, man, I got an idea. You know, what do you think? Because I do music production. That's just a thing of mine that I do, not necessarily to be paid, but I just love to do music. And so, and my younger brother, who's also a part of the group, does videography as well, and another partner of ours does music. Marcus was like, what do you think about all of us getting together and putting something together since we're all doing things separately? And I was like, yeah, you know, a few years ago I was talking to another guy who acts. He's an actor here. And I was like, it would be cool to do something like that. So you coming up to me, it's just confirmation that we need to do this. Mm-hmm. And we did it. We met at Marcus's house and was like, hey, y'all want to pull together? And everybody mm-hmm. was like, sure. Okay. And once we came together, I told them, February of last year, I told them, I want to do a Black Wall Street movie. And then we just left it there, and we went on about our business. But then we did our first short film called Her that Marcus wrote. And right when we finished, I was just like, well, we ready to... it's time to do the real thing now.
Yeah. It sounds funny, but that's exactly how it happened.
Yep.
Do you feel like I think seeing the beginning of Watchmen was kind of a big thing, but it has been filtering into the Oklahoma experience. The Black Wall Street Massacre has become much more known in the last few years.
Right.
Is it still something though that do you still find people who are like, now what?
A lot of people. Yeah. We just left a showing a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And there were people who didn't know anything about it. To me, when Watchmen happened, we were I don't know if we were filming or in post, but I mean, you told me it was on Watchmen, and I'm like, yeah. What's Watchmen? And, you know, I get on, I look on the HBO thing, and I'm like, are you, oh, come on. Like, they done took the whole, because I thought it was the whole show was big.
Yeah.
So I'm like, see, that's why I didn't want to make the movie in the first place, because nobody's going to care about Oklahoma people making movies. And then I saw it was just 3 minutes, and then all the research we had done, I realized they didn't even really tell it. They kind of put the little Hollywood spin on everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, that motivated me even more. Then I was like completely ready to do the movie after that.
Yeah, and I think that even if you have seen the Watchmen scene that we're talking about, it kind of enhances the watching Black Wall Street Burning, because the Dreamland Theater is very important in Watchmen. It's a setting for a lot of action, and like, you guys have photos of that.
Yeah,
you have it in the movie, and like, actually getting to see this like in real life it's so cool to see that from the Oklahoma perspective.
100%. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing about this movie, and that's what we lead with constantly. This is for Oklahoma, by Oklahoma, completely, 100%. Filmed here, everyone in the cast other than myself was born here. Mm-hmm. So this is just Oklahoma through and through. So when we shot everything, when we put it together, it was all from a place of love and really wanted to bring this story to the forefront, not like, this is just, we got to make as much money and everybody's talking about it now, let's just do it. Is we need to, because there's a lot of history here that we don't know, not just Black Wall, there's a lot of buried Oklahoma history.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the goal. We're going to start bringing all of it to the forefront, not just Black history, but just history, period, in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch to the end of the credits, you will see a big Made in Oklahoma stamp.
I made sure to put that there.
in the credits, because it's big. I think Oklahoma's really starting to garner a lot of attention. I mean, we got, I'd say, placed really on the map when the Thunder came here.
Mm-hmm.
But now a lot of talented people are starting to do a lot of things out of Oklahoma. Now, we got talented people that's around the world doing things, but talented things happening here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just want to be a part and showcase some of that talent.
So what were some of the challenges that you all faced making this movie? Like, from the casting to the budget to...
Everything was a challenge with doing this movie. You're talking about doing a period piece in, at the time, 2019, without being on a movie lot. So everything is around you. And... we talked to some kids from Metro Tech earlier today, and they were asking about certain shots and why we shot things certain ways. And we just had to tell them, like, it was really hard to move the camera around freely because you move to the left. Look at this big old building that would have never existed in this time. Or a little bit to the right, and you know, there's a F-150 just sitting right in, like, so. Though that was a massive challenge.
Also, trying to film a movie that takes place in the spring, in the fall,
yes,
was extremely difficult.
That was difficult.
Hiding, like we were rushing. I was like, okay, so this tree's still alive. It's got a little green on it. Let's roll with that tree.
Yeah.
It was very difficult, but it turned out well.
It turned out well. I think I'd say the casting was interesting. It really wasn't a challenge. Huh. Now,
no, not really.
We wanted a larger mob. We definitely did. Mm-hmm. That was a challenge. Yeah.
Okay. There are certain people who don't want to be attached to being a racist.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're good. Uh-huh. But everyone else in the cast, all are non-actors. None of them are actors or actresses by trade. They're all just people who work at various places around the state and around Oklahoma City. And they just kind of fell into place. Mm-hmm. I'd know somebody, and I'm like, you know what? They would really fit this part. I'm not sure if they do it, but let's ask them. And somebody else would know somebody. My wife knew some people. One of the ladies that's in the film, Leslie, she knew several of the cast members that she brought. She said, I got these guys. They'll be perfect for this role and this role. I'm like, let's meet them. And everybody just fell into place. So that wasn't really a challenge. But budget-wise, oh, yeah. It was a massive challenge. You mean, you talk about we spent – on the film itself, we spent about $5,000 just to make it.
Okay.
And then from there, getting it rated, getting the DCP, getting it into the theaters, we spent about another $7,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So even more than the actual film itself.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, we're spending more because it's sold out every day and night.
Yeah.
And we got it back in the theaters again. So, you know, the way it works, we pay the theater a set fee for a certain run, and then we get the gate. So.
And I would say the most taxing thing would be what it did to us physically.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had to do, like me, being a disabled vet, there's only so much I can do. So things I can't do, the Coven would have to do twice as much,
uh-huh.
or I would just do things that I shouldn't be doing. And my first thing out my mouth to everyone, Don't tell my wife. So
it's a good thing.
Hopefully,
this
your wife isn't listening to this right now.
Oh, she knows now.
Yeah, she would know by the time I got home when I could barely move.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh, I don't. I know y'all have seen it, but I don't want to give it away for the listeners. But the mother daughter scene towards the end,
mm-hmm.
I had to actually lay down to shoot that, but I couldn't get up after I was shot, and he had to come help me stand because my leg had just completely just said we're done for the day. So it's like, but so when I watch that scene, it's like, oh, I remember that. You know, I remember all that pain. So to me when I watch it, it's like watching your kid up there.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think for us, we wanted to one shine a light on this, but also if any donors are out there listening, we really want to do it on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we wanted to just do something that would hopefully be good enough for people to see. We were shocked by
I was expecting an attaboy. That's
yeah,
it.
That was mm-hmm. it. We just thought a couple people were watching and family and friends and like, y'all did a good job. Mm-hmm. We're proud of y'all. Good job.
Yeah. I mean, we went at 12:05 in the afternoon and I'm like, just absolutely packed.
Yeah.
And it ended up being sold out and they came in and they were like, make sure that you're in the right seat. Make sure you're scooching mm-hmm. in and everything. Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
My goal with the movie, which I told him, was I just want someone to cry. Like, that's all I was saying.
And it's worked.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I just want one tear. And if people don't cry, they don't have any feelings. So I'm going to make sure I cut this movie where you cry. And now that we've gone to about 5 showings now.
Yeah.
And we try to, like, well, he doesn't. But I like to hide because I don't like people knowing. I'm kind of to myself. I'm very quiet.
I'm not just out.
No, you ain't out there. But, I mean, they know you. Me, I can hide. But when they notice me, you know, I talk, I'm nice. But it's just amazing to see people care, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, we saw these two ladies hugging after the show today, and it was a white lady and a black lady, and they were just hugging and crying together. And I didn't realize we were going to bring people together like that. And
mm-hmm.
like made me just want to call my mom or something. Like, it was it was amazing. And I didn't – now you start to realize how, you know, how important – the movie is.
It really is.
And then now it's just like, I didn't just make a film. I made something that matters. Yeah. And we really want that for other, because there's a lot of filmmakers in Oklahoma. So, you know, we need to start making movies that do things like that really matter.
There's, we talked a little bit about how the events have become a little bit better known. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think some people, I mean, I have the broad strokes of it, and I'm definitely not nearly enough. And in fact, something that we're going to be exploring more in Oklahoma today very soon. But is there any, is there anything that you feel like is coming out in the movie that is really going to shock people, or something that people really didn't know that you want to get out there to that audience?
I don't think there's anything that's going to, I mean, unless you've never heard of it, then it's all kind of shocking to you. Like, what? I didn't know this. But I think one thing that we point out is the incident that pretty much led to the destruction of an entire town, how minuscule it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think the way Mark has cut it together, I can hear in the crowd when he's showing certain images, people are like, really? Like, like this is, like, seriously?
We heard that reaction in our screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of
So I think, to me, that's the thing, trying to really point that out. Like, sometimes we let little things just burn everything down in life. And I hope people get that from it. Some things just let go. And, I mean, we know there were racial tensions period back then. So if it wasn't that, it could have been anything else.
I think that anybody who's seen the history of the massacre has kind of come to the conclusion is like, this was going to happen. Was going to happen, and they were looking for any excuse. Well, I remember being super shocked when I heard that planes, like, that there were people flying. Just in my head, I always thought it was like, well, it's just, you know, a bunch of idiots who march in there and start. And it's just like, no. There were affluent people flying planes, dropping bombs.
I would say definitely watch the film for that. But we also talk about Claude Chandler in the beginning.
That might, if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it. But if you are paying attention, it should perk your ears up, like, what happened in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I remember thinking, what are they talking about?
Claude Chandler was an African-American man in 1920 in Oklahoma City. He was accused of theft, and he was arrested. A mob came to the jail, and they told the sheriff, either give him to us or we're going to kill all of you. So they were like, cool, take him. And then they hung him on 4th and Reno, correct? Was it Reno?
Yeah.
Yes.
So not far from where we watched that movie.
Exactly. So when that got out, and that's why we put that in the beginning, so you can understand why as soon as they found out that they had him, they all just took off to take care of it because they didn't want that to happen again. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was, you know, not here, not in our town. But if you aren't, a lot of people miss that because they're just enjoying that scene and they don't hear what is going on. And then you just kind of are just not totally immersed in why the African-American community was so in an uproar.
Mm-hmm. I get it. It's something that you don't know about. Right. You hear it, it's like, Claude Chandler, I have no idea who that is and when this happened. It really happened in August of 1920. In Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Right down the street.
More hidden history.
Yeah.
Wow. One of the things that really struck me was the media's role in it. And you guys showed a newspaper clip towards the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's just amazing to me that the media is such a powerful force. And this is where we really dropped the ball.
One of the things that I was trying to do, I was trying to find hard if I could find a way to print an old paper from the time. But it was like, no way.
That's like the only clipping you can find. There's another one that's even worse. That I was looking for it and I couldn't find it anywhere. It's actually the one that they say is what really sparked it off.
Yeah.
And they like got rid of every copy of that, where they just go into detail about all these things that he did to her in the elevator. And when we were looking at it, it's like, how did he have that much time to do all of this in the elevator?
Uh-huh.
So, but that's how things start. And we show that in the movie, how it grows mm-hmm. on what he did in the elevator.
Well,
it
just keeps this, expanding. I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody was there, but we all heard something different. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like this is still relevant to here and now? Because what you're saying to me right now, it sounds totally like the internet phenomenon of just like, you know, you hit one piece of information and people just pile on and pile on and pile on, and no one wants
especially to. Especially with Facebook and stuff where nobody's fact checking anything.
Yeah.
Nobody's verifying anything.
If anybody was to put anything out about you, it's true until mm-hmm. you can prove that it's not.
Yeah.
And it's never that. I think our society is worse now because now we have social media.
Yeah.
And people can destroy you on social media.
Yes.
There's people killing themselves because of what people are saying on the internet. You know, now it's way where I can only imagine what would happen if that would happen now. And not just grabbing her, but just, she said he did anything. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to be more aware about what we say because we're mm-hmm. so quick to just, like, and that's not a black-white thing. That's just a people thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's guilty now. It doesn't matter. You're guilty, and it's on you to prove yourself innocent because I'm just going to tell everyone I know, all my 5,000 followers, how horrible you are, yeah. and they're all going to believe me.
Agreed.
are there plans to screen the movie in Tulsa? Oh,
yes. Okay. So starting tomorrow through the 20th, it will be in Circle Cinema.
Okay.
It'll be running 3 times a day, except for on Monday. I think it'll be running 2x a day. And Saturday, we'll actually be in Tulsa screening the movie with them at the 7:30 showing. One of the actresses, the female lead, she's from Tulsa, so she'll be there with us to screen the movie and then do a question and answer session afterward. And also the Cherokee Nation Freedmen Chief will also be in attendance to screen the movie.
The mayor might be there too.
And the mayor might come out as well. So yeah, hopefully
really Tulsa nervous about Tulsa. Yeah.
We really are, but I hope Tulsa comes out and supports and lets us know what they think. Yeah, I know I get this question a lot. Did y'all shoot any of it in Tulsa? We did not.
Okay.
Because, one, again, the cast that we were working with, they're not, this isn't their job. They have other jobs. And so sometimes when we would be shooting and we say, okay, tomorrow I need y'all here from this time to this time, and they'll come in, well, I got to leave in 2 hours because I got something else to do. Well, so we had to play, and then we didn't have really the budget to go up there and try to set everything up. It was just
what I did find was a sunrise over downtown Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
And I used that at the end of the movie. So the sunrise that you see at
spoiler
the end of the
alert.
Film.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
There is a sunrise.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I was
yeah, it ruined the whole movie.
Nearly bought my ticket and then I was just like, no, they said there was a sun. There's a sunrise?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Well, now I know the sunrise is at the end. Yeah,
whenever you see the sunrise, you know that is a sunrise over downtown Tulsa. So the Tulsa is in the film.
Yes.
So going, like, watching this and seeing your work in the theater, like, what do you see that you would change or make better?
Oh, a ton of stuff.
How much time do you have, really? Yeah.
Oh, so much stuff.
Oh,
there.
My goodness. Oh, God.
And partially it's my fault because I pushed the deadline. Originally, I wanted to, I was like, yeah, we'll have time. Let's just put it out in April and we'll do, like, the film festival circuit or something like that. But then I was thinking, I was like, well, Black History Month is coming up. Well, let's get it out for Black History Month.
Let's just rush and get it done.
And so, yeah, there's a ton of things that I would do different with the sound. I know there's a ton of things that Marks would do different. We always talk about, yeah, we're going to go back. But again, it's just been us two working on this thing.
Right.
And we've pulled 19, 20, 24-hour days back to back.
I've had quite a few arguments at home because I'm never home.
Yeah.
So,
are there any scenes watching it that you're just like, that is so, like, that's so much, that's what I envisioned, or that's better than what I envisioned, that's just really emotionally satisfying for you?
Dell running.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
Uh-huh.
Mainly because we made him do it so many times. he was so, like, exhausted by the end of that day.
Oh, I bet.
But I just love it.
I think Courtney, McClain, his speech.
Speech, boy.
Right before the guys come walking out of the. Sorry.
No, it's all right. Spoiler alert. Right. People are walking in this movie. Guys, we're
right
just
before
spoilers
the guys come walking,
all over the place.
Walking up.
That speech is
powerful. just that whole sequence, the way it transitions, I've from a sitting in the audience listening to the crowd's reaction, I really enjoyed that because, and never mind, I can't go into it because I'm just gonna give away the whole movie. Yeah, but yeah, there's some good parts.
Is Courtney Jacoby?
Yes,
he's Jacoby. Character?
Yes.
Okay.
Will you guys be moving towards like VOD with this or anything?
Yes,
because I know a bunch of people are going to want to see this.
Well, we've been getting asked to bring it all over. Well, actually, I got an email today. We were asked if we can bring it to the UK. And we were like, you mean like send it? And they were like, no, like you come with the movie and show it to us. And that's I was just awesome. Like, like, that's a lot.
But we do plan to release on Amazon. Okay. So whenever we get done with these theaters, I mean, and we constantly get people all around the U.S., can you bring it here? Can we do a screener here? Can we do a screener there? We actually, once I check my email today, more than likely we'll be in Southlake, which is right outside of Dallas, for a week. Mm-hmm. I think we're targeting the 21st through the 27th. So, but once we get done with all the theater runs, then we will.
Yeah, we weren't expecting all. Like, I was thinking, okay, it'd be in theaters for a week, and then we'll put it on Amazon next week, and we're good. And it's like, okay, so we got to add another week here. We got to put it here, probably add another week. So I don't know when it's leaving theaters. I mean, I'm not complaining.
No.
It's I've never seen people support like anything like this before.
I'm so proud of Oklahoma City and surrounding areas, that everyone who's been supporting.
Yeah, we have people drive from Houston just to see the movie.
Phenomenal.
It's like, we could bring it there, but thanks for coming, you know?
Yeah.
So just that outcry of support. And it also lets you know you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're right where you're supposed to be. So it makes you more motivated to do the next one. And speaking of next one, I know you'll probably ask later, but I'm already talking about it. We plan on doing a series. We're going to do it's not going to be called Black Wall Street Burning, obviously, but a Black Wall Street series. And we're going to start, like, from the beginning. And we're going to put that on Amazon as well and just kind of just tell the entire story where you can see how great and how beautiful things were at the time. And we'll be telling it on both sides.
Yeah.
But so what we're trying to do right now is, of course, get money together, because to do that is going to be way difficult.
And crew and cast.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
We're
by
not
ourselves.
Doing it by ourselves.
I know.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Is there a website or how? Because you know, I don't know. I would assume there's a lot of people who are going to see the movie, who are going to hear this or read about it, and want to say how can I help?
Yeah. So our website is under construction at the moment, but you can reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter and through YouTube. We're definitely responding to all the comments that we receive.
And it's Notice?
Yes.
Notice, N-O-T-I-S.
Okay.
Studios.
And Notice Studios.
There is nothing we won't answer. Like, it doesn't.
All right.
I make sure I answer every comment on YouTube. If you get either one of us on Facebook, we'll talk to you. We're not, like, super famous. It's fine.
Not at all. Yeah.
Because we've had people say they didn't want to come talk to us because they didn't think we'd speak to them. And it's like, we're people.
Yep.
Just like you. If you see me at Walmart, speak. I'll say hello. It's fine. Like, I'm paying bills just like you. It's all good.
Yep. This is weird to us. It really is weird. It's like, okay, what is really happening?
Yeah.
What's going on? Because the support has just been really overwhelming.
And I did see on Facebook today that you all are going to be honored in the Cherokee Freedmen Nation.
Yes.
This weekend in Tulsa.
Yeah, so we'll be up there with Courtney McClain. He's a member of the tribe, and I mean, he did a phenomenal job in this film.
Big time.
And somebody should come pick him up for some big time films.
He's handsome too.
He's married, ladies.
But Dell isn't. Dell is single.
Dell is single.
Yes, he's single.
Thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed this. This was nice.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And please let us know when new projects are coming out and when the VOD and all that other stuff. I would like to update listeners and let them know. But
you have the inside track right there. So
It sounds good. Thank you guys so much. And we are going to jump into our events for the week. First up, climb aboard the Satellite of Love, a.k.a. the Hudaberg Chevrolet Center at Rose State College, for Mystery Science Theater 3000, the Great Cheesy Movie Circus Tour. Experience a never-before-screened film in the not-too-distant future of February the 20th. Tickets are $21.82 to $81.83. Visit OKCCivicCenter.com for tickets.
Pour a glass of wine or three for I Mom So Hard, Mom's Night Out, Round 2 at the Criterion in Oklahoma City to watch two of the funniest moms in America, Jen Smedley and Kristen Hensley, perform their hilarious confessional comedy show on February 21st. Tickets are $49.75 to $169.75 at CriterionOKC.com.
Day by Day, forget that, because Godspell is in the John H. Williams Theater at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center all weekend. From February 21st through the 23rd, you can see the Tulsa Project Theater's version of the 2012 revival of this off-Broadway classic. Tickets are $15 through $35. Visit TulsaPack.com for tickets.
Since 1994, Normanites and other non-Norman people have enjoyed the New Orleans Mardi Gras Parade, which comes to downtown Norman on February 22nd. The fun includes fire dancers, jazz bands, and toasts to the King and Queen of Mardi Gras. Collect some beads, but please keep your clothes on. More info on this free event can be found at NormanMardiGrasParade.com.
Did you know Oklahoma has bald eagles? I did, because Brandon the intern keeps putting Eagle Watch events in the calendar every week. Still, it's pretty cool to see eagles, so pack up the family and head to Ten Killer State Park in Vian, for the Eagle Tour and Loon Watch. Definitely bring binoculars. You will need them. This free event is February 22nd, but call ahead to reserve a spot. Go to travelok.com/tenkiller for more info.
Ditch the Net and Keep the Flicks are Edmond's first ever Simply Indie Film Festival. This three-day movie watching event is February 20th through the 22nd at the Edmond Conference Center, Hilton Garden Inn, and features a variety of short films across a bunch of genres. Tickets are $5 to $40 at simplyindiefilmfest.com.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and please be sure to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss a single episode. Rate and review us online. 5 stars, please. Does a world of good in getting other people to listen, and then you can talk about the podcast together, and you'll finally have a friend. Won't that be nice? Send any questions or comments to oktpod@travelok.com, and please visit oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of the magazine. Subscribe now to make sure that you receive the food issue, which we'll be talking about on next week's episode. Thanks for lending us your ears. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.